Welcome to Sisterhood, having conversations that matter with me, Lorianne Sheldrick, an incredible woman who support, encourage, and empower other women. While you are here, you will be supported. You will empower yourself so that you can be supportive to others and begin to fully embrace that we cannot be empowered women if we do not support those who are being disempowered. That is the magic that lies within sisterhood, and it only works if we do it together. The purpose of sisterhood is to create deep and meaningful connections with other women, have conversations that matter, because women need other women, and together we are going to be, do, and have all that we desire. It starts right here, right now, with me, my special guest, and with you. Let's begin. Welcome to the magic of sisterhood. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Sisterhood Podcast. Thank you for tuning in to today's share. Thank you for listening to this conversation. This one is very timely. I am joined by Anne Hentz, beautiful human being. I really resonated with this conversation. I could have spoken to her for hours. She is the author of Pathway to Insight, and she shares her story of trauma and healing from PTSD that was caused by finding her mom dead in the bathroom at 19 years old. And she shares her story about how 20 years later, the tears from that trauma were still just laying there under the surface, just constantly ready to, you know, bubble up, to come up and to take her down. And Anne found a simple technique that helped her to release these emotions. It was called EFT, Emotional Freedom Technique. And it physically made her finally feel free from the trauma of that experience of finding her mom had passed. So she decided, I need to take this deeper. And she continued going further, deeper, and learning all about emotions and the layers of emotions, and how there is an awareness of them inside of our body and how we can become aware of them. And she calls this insight or inward sight. And Anne has found that by seeking out our truth, what we truly feel, those layers of feelings, naming them, really understanding where the anger is coming from, for example, if it's anger, noticing them, where they're stored in our body, we can accept those feelings, allow them to move through us instead of bypassing them and pushing them down. And that will be the key to our inner peace, to the emotional freedom. And this technique, emotional freedom technique, helped her do that. And now she teaches other people how to do that as well. One of the things that I really loved in our conversation, besides everything, but something that really stuck out for me was freeing ourselves from negative thoughts or negative emotions can oftentimes, once we start to do the work, be as simple as allowing ourselves to take pause to let them move through us, instead of being afraid to look at them because we think that they are going to break us. And she shares something that I think is really important here. She says, you don't have to look for the positive when you're processing negative emotions, because once you process the negative emotions and get to the root of it, get to the healing of it, and bring it all up so you can experience that emotional freedom, the positive emotions will just naturally come in, because that's actually our truest state. So I just want to allow you to just dive deep into this conversation right now. I'm going to end right there, because I think so many of us are feeling all of the emotions right now. And in this conversation, you're going to learn some techniques and just hear us talk about how to claim our emotions so they don't claim you. So to connect with Anne, to go to her website, I've put everything for you in the show notes. I've also put some additional resources for you in the show notes as well to help you if you are feeling all of the feels right now and so emotionally charged right now, which so many of us are. You're not alone. There's nothing wrong with you. Your emotions are there for a reason. We are feeling human beings. You can connect with Anne. You can connect with me. Follow along on Instagram. My company page is @contagiously_positive. Also, all in the show notes. I want to send each and every one of you, wherever you are today, whatever you're experiencing today, whatever you're feeling today, so much love. And I want to end with our reminder that we always end with, which is, you are good enough. I really want you to take this in. You are good enough. You have always been good enough, and you will always, always be good enough. I'm just sending you so much love. I hope you enjoy this conversation as much as I enjoyed this conversation, and I'll see you back here for the next episode in a couple of weeks. Bye.
I always love having a quick little conversation before we start, because I swear those little 3 minutes always kind of guides us where exactly we need to start. And you said something right from the start, like, I like to just talk about stuff that's like currently happening, and emotions are high right now. People are feeling all the feels. And I was speaking to a life coach this morning, Jenny Tao, who said, it's just like one big loop the past 18 months, the same feelings, the same emotions, the same frustrations, the same, you know, confusion, the same, like, just people are just feeling all the feels because that's just what we've been in the past 18 months. I have so many directions I want to go with you, but is that what you're experiencing as well? Like, it just seems to be like so many emotions bubbling to the surface all at once for everyone.
Yeah, that's definitely what I feel is happening. But the key for me is that we actually need to step back and feel them and allow them to express through our bodies, not to just move on to the next one, move on to the next one, move on to the next one, and not actually address them, because they're coming back. They come back over and over again in order for us to notice them and to let them pass through. And then they won't come back anymore. Because that's what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what you teach, and that's what you've experienced in your own life. And God, like, everything that I have read up on you and your website and your story and your YouTube videos, like, it just feels so magical to me. Like, your words, words are really important to me. They make me feel something, and they make me explore more. And even in, I love it too, you're an author, and I find authors have a really good job at this. You answer things that we're searching for or didn't know we were searching for. And you give us questions that we didn't even know we needed to ask ourselves.
Well, that's part of the expansion of the awareness, right? We don't know what we don't know.
Yes, so, until we know it.
Right. And then we can look back and say, oh, I didn't know it then. Right. Yeah. And that's part of the current woke culture, or whatever that word means. Mm-hmm. We all think that we're aware. And then we move forward and then realize that we weren't really aware.
Yes.
But we've got to get to that place before you can look back and see that something has actually changed.
Absolutely. Well, I'd love to start with you, Anne. I saw that you wrote, you know, once we change our inside, our outside changes. And I know that you have a personal story that you share. Can you share your story on how you have done this, and what is your why behind all of this beautiful work that you do?
Well, I think most of us have a why. I don't know. I got to the place where I so wanted my inside to change. My mind was so busy. It was so negative. It was so judgmental. And I would see these other parents at school who always seemed so calm. And I so wanted to be like those other mothers out there. So I knew what I was doing wasn't working, and I had tried so many things. And one of the key things I tried was positive thinking. Yeah. And I came to the conclusion that doesn't work. No. And we can talk about that later. But I realized that wasn't working. And then I went to a doctor when my boys were young, like they were 2 and 6 or something like that. And the doctor didn't think I should be stressed in any way. So he asked me, he noticed I was, and he asked me what my stress level was on a 0 through 10 scale. And it was an 8. And he was really surprised. I was a stay-at-home mom. I shouldn't have been stressed. But I knew straight away it was what I'd been holding in from finding my mother dead in the bathroom when I was 19, which was 2 decades earlier.
Wow.
And so I was holding on to that. The tears were still so close to the surface. So he used this weird technique with me. It's called EFT, mm-hmm. short for Emotional Freedom Technique, or tapping. Yeah. He used it for about 15 minutes. We talked through the events of finding my mother. And I walked away from there being able to tell the story, like reading from a book, right? No emotions came up. And to me, it felt magical. Wow. Just to let that go.
Yes.
So it was, that was the start of that journey. I realized this was something deeper. Something had really shifted inside of me. So I learned how to use the technique myself. A few days later, my cat needed daily saline shots, and I hated injections, still do.
Yeah.
But I let go of the emotional charge I had around them. So I used this technique. I tapped about my fear of hurting my cat, my fear of giving the injection, everything I could think of. I tapped about it. And then the next day, the injection just slid right in. And every day from there on, it just slid right in. It's like something had really shifted.
Mm-hmm.
So I started using that. And I went through, I used it on everyday emotions when I found myself emotional during the day. And then I wanted more. So I wrote down all the traumas I could remember from childhood, everything that was emotional. And I went through them one at a time, one each day, probably for an hour to an hour and a half each evening, I would do it.
Yep.
And I found my mind becoming quiet. And it was so nice. And what I realized at that point was those words that had been playing in my mind, like the judgments and everything, those had been my dad's words. And I didn't know that. I didn't know at the time that I had been replaying his words from childhood, right? That was my programming, and I was replaying it. And I didn't know that until I had removed him from my mind and it was quiet and I could look back and see, oh, that was my dad in my mind.
Mm. I just had this visual. It's sort of like pulling the emotions right from like this deep root and pulling them up to the surface and looking at them and being like, well, yeah, but that's not even mine, right? Like, I'm just right, like, it's just like, it's yours and it's there and you've stored it there, this belief system around it, but you've created this emotional charge over something that was your dad's words, which is just so incredible to me. Why do you think the EFT works? I love anything that connects me to my body, where I can do the body, touch my body and feel the emotions. I don't know. There's something that just feels really good. But what is happening when we're going through an EFT? Because I've heard it helps people with PTSD, which I'm sure you suffered from whenever you found your mom at 19 years old.
I did. I also, both my parents were alcoholics. So that's where the PTSD came from.
Yeah,
for sure. But yes, it does help with PTSD. There have actually been real studies on that and pretty amazing stories from it too. My belief, what I experience is that you're tapping on the ends of meridian points. So you're just tapping fairly gently on the body in different places as you're talking through the emotions or the events that happens. Mm-hmm. And to me, it creates an energetic interrupt into the that meridian system. So the emotions are stored inside the body or around the body. They are stored in the body for sure, because I know that without a doubt.
Yes.
And as you're tapping, you're creating an interrupt into what's stored in the body, and it allows it to release out of the body. So
claiming the emotions, right?
Sorry, say that again.
While also claiming that emotion that you have that maybe you didn't even pay attention to before.
Right. It definitely opens up levels of awareness. And that was what I found through my journey. Is when I started this work, I didn't know how I felt because I had so much resistance. Mm-hmm. So someone could ask me, well, how are you feeling, Anne? And I would say, I don't know. How are you feeling? Like I would pass that on to someone else because I had no idea. Yeah. So this, the EFT started opening me up to actually the emotions that I felt underneath the words, right? Because I might be able to say to myself, my dad shouted at me, Yeah. Right? That's just something that happens. Mm. But the deeper level of awareness is, well, how do you feel? Or how did you feel when your dad shouted at you? And maybe it was, I felt scared when my dad shouted at me. So that kind of, it bubbles up as you start working with EFT. Mm. And that's just one next level. But there are layers below that. And the layer underneath that is, well, what are the physical sensations around feeling fearful? You know, it might be tension in the solar plexus or the abdomen. It might be tension in the jaw. And I started to become aware of that.
Yeah.
So it's just opening up those different levels of awareness.
How much does our body play a role in all of this? Because I know that we have our mind, and I know that we have our emotional body. You feel all the feels, but we do. I know when I'm emotional, I know I feel it in my body. So how much does our body play a role in our emotions? Is it our body that's guiding it, or is it the emotions that are guiding it, or is it all like interlaced together?
To me, it is now one and the same. Mm. We hold those emotions stored in the connective tissue of our body. Mm-hmm. And so it's, as we're doing the EFT work, we're kind of doing that more on the mind level, right? We're working through the mind, through the knowledge of the emotions, the knowledge of the words, to get into the body. And the tapping is working at the deeper level of the connective tissue in the body and letting that go. So yeah, it's definitely one and the same. And yeah. So, I mean, I actually went further than that. At each level, I wanted more and more.
Please share. This is so fascinating. And I want anyone listening to just be like, oh my God, yes, I want to go deeper. Please go deeper.
Yeah. And I want especially women to know how powerful we are, because this is a level of power that I never knew was available to us. So as I went deeper and deeper, I started to be able to feel these physical sensations. So at that point, I didn't really need EFT so much, except when I would get really emotional around something and couldn't become aware of my physical sensations. So I would like stand at the kitchen sink as I was doing the dishes, and I would think a thought. And if there were emotions attached to it, I would actually stop at that point and be like a statue. I would feel where that, it's usually fear, it was for me. Yeah. I would feel where that fear was and actually hold my breath, hold myself as a statue and feel that physical sensation of fear. Normally it's for me in the solar plexus abdomen. Just hold it there. And I would kind of talk to it. It's like, high fear or high tension in my solar plexus. I can feel you right there, because I want to hold my focused awareness on that tension. Because when you hold your focused awareness on something, which is what you're doing with EFT, you're doing that with words more or with emotions. This is the deeper level of the physical sensations. When you hold your awareness on it, it releases, it lets go, it dissipates. So I would hold my awareness on this tension until I needed to take a breath. I would take the breath and it would dissipate somewhat. Then I would bring the thought back again and feel that fear again. Is it still there? Is it dissipated somewhat, or has it moved somewhere else? And then I would hold my awareness on that, let it pass through my body. And then I would think the thought again. So I would do it over and over again until that thought no longer had attachments to emotions. At that point, that thought is free.
Yes.
And then I would carry on with the dishes until something else came up. So it took a long time to get dishes done, but it was really powerful work.
But talk about worth it. Like, how many years I know that I've held on to certain traumatic experiences that I've had. I know the length of time it can take to work through that. And I also know that as long as it takes in that moment, like even if it's 15 minutes while you're doing dishes, who cares how long it takes? Like the emotional freedom, right? The emotional freedom,
right?
Emotional freedom that you feel is so worth it, because it is, there is a heaviness. Like when you're feeling fear and when you're not feeling safe, like there is such a heaviness. Like, it's worth that time and that effort.
Yes. So there's two places I want to go from here. So yes. remind me about enlightenment.
Okay. I'll write it down.
Okay. What was the second one? Yes. So what really helped me on this path at this point was understanding the law of attraction. I got to the point where I realized that our whole body is a signal. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty obvious when you think about it, like if someone is 6'8", right? That's part of their signal, right? Their physical structure is part of their signal. Everywhere they go, they're going to have people talking about their height, mm-hmm. right? So that's part of our signal. And, you know, our hair is part of our signal. Our clothes are part of our signal. But what I realized is a really big part of our signal is the attention that we hold in the connective tissue of our body, which is the past, the emotions that we're holding onto, the traumas that we're holding onto. We talk about people as being highly strung, right? Someone who's highly strung has a lot of tight tension stored inside of them that, you know, it's easy to push their buttons. Mm-hmm. So that is part of their signal. So once I realized that our whole body is a signal and that we're putting off a signal every second of every day, right? The law of attraction is working all the time. It's not something that we use when we want to use it. It's just happening. So whatever I was getting back in life, whatever you're getting back in life, is a result of the signal you're putting out.
Wow.
So when I realized that, I started to feel during the day. It's like, okay, what's my signal right now? Right? Am I feeling relaxed, or am I feeling tense, or am I feeling emotional? Because that is the signal I'm putting out, which means I'm going to get that feeling back again in the future. Yeah. And do I want that? Well, at that point, it's like, no, I really don't want this feeling again. So that really inspired me to work on it more. So if you know, I'm feeling emotional, if I'm feeling fearful, I know I don't want to feel that again. So I'm going to work with it right now. I'm going to feel it. I'm going to let it pass through so that I don't get it again the next time.
And I love that, because the new age rhetoric around law of attraction is always to think positively. And when The Secret came out, the movie and the book, everyone started to just bypass their emotions. And I know a lot of women that I speak to are like, oh my God, I just said something really negative. I'm going to control alt delete that because I'm not going to manifest the thing that I want. And I'm like, hello, no, like, let's stay there for a bit, because if you don't claim it, it's going to definitely claim you. Like, we know that they don't go anywhere until you send them somewhere and allow them to release. So I love that, because we can't be positive all the time. My business is called Contagiously Positive, but it's not called Contagiously Positive because I'm positive all the time. It's because it's an energy that I'm trying to attract towards me. And I do that by feeling all of my feelings, including the ones that cause me emotional discomfort, because we have a vast emotional scale. Like, it's like endless, like they're all the things that we can feel even throughout the day. So I want to come back to the signal for a bit, because how do we, one, Albert Einstein said everything is energy and that's all there is to it. And I've always stuck to that. And he said, if you can match the frequency to the energy you want to attract, you cannot help but receive that back. How do we know then, like, how do we pay attention to those signals, or how do we become a different signal? Like, how do we change that channel and become the signal to the thing that we want? Is it feeling that, do we feel the emotion and then bring something else in?
Okay, I actually have a whole chapter on this in my book, because I work on it with EFT. So when there's something you want that you don't have right now,
yes,
there's clearly some resistance to it, because if not, you would have it.
Okay.
Right. So there has to be resistance. So what I like to do is find that resistance. So there's resistance. There's two types of resistance. There's resistance to where you are now, because if you're not happy with where you are now, you want something else. So what is it you're not liking about where you are now? Right. So I ask questions to dig up that resistance and then feel those feelings or tap them out and let that resistance go. Then whatever it is you want, there's resistance to having it, because otherwise you would have it. So what's your resistance to what it is you want? There must be some. So dig it out and find out what it is and let that go. And at that point, you've let go of the resistance and it can flow to you. Right. At that point, if you want to work on what it is you want, and you can tap or, you know, think about that a lot. But if you still have resistance inside you, the signal you're putting off is not a pure signal, because there is resistance inside you. So it makes sense. Well, and yeah, in the chapter in my book, I have a lot of questions to ask yourself to dig out that resistance.
It makes so much sense. And like in my body and my heart and my soul and all of that is like, yes, 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 I get it. I get it. I get it. And then my mind is like, oh yeah, but look at how hard you've been working towards these things. Like I have no resistance. Yeah.
And that's part of the, you know, becoming aware. It's like, okay, if I don't have it, there has to be resistance. Yeah. Right. So, you know, you've got to have that will to actually look at it and find it and dig it out.
Well, let me share an example, and maybe this will be really good for the listeners and for myself as well. So I had an experience, and I just wrote about this on my blog. So I had an experience last week where I was just having an incredible week. Like the week was good. I was having these beautiful conversations for the season 2 of the Sisterhood podcast. Stuff lined up. My husband and I are building a house. That was going really, really well. The sun was shining. We sold our current house. All that was going really well. It seemed like a lot of joy. And then I was at the grocery store and all of a sudden I got this wave of just, I could feel it. I know I'm very in tune with my body. I could feel like, I'm like, oh my God, I'm about to have an anxiety attack. And I'm like, what is going on? And I could feel it in my body and my heart started to pump and I started to sweat. And you know, you kind of get this like dizzy feeling and you're like, I can't take a deep breath. And I thought it was because I had my mask on. And then all of a sudden I had this thought come into my mind. I'm like, all of this is too good to be true. The other shoe is going to drop. So in that moment, I was like, no. And I started to speak to myself until I could calm and get out of the store. That to me, now hearing what you say, that's resistance. There's resistance in there. So if I dig deeper in that, there's something else in there of, okay, I'm resisting this, whatever it may be. Like it's just too good to be true because always waiting for those, you know, bad things to happen. There's no way with everything happening in the world that things could be this good.
So right. There's also some suppression there, right? Because you allow yourself to keep going with those negative thoughts, right? So if I was in that same situation and I knew EFT, I would tap and accept. It's like, okay, I'm tapping on my head. I know this is just audio, but I'm actually tapping on my points at the same time. It feels like this is too good to be true. It feels like this is too good to be true and the other shoe is going to drop. Feels like this is too good to be true. And at some point, once you let the emotions around that go, a memory might pop up in your mind of an early childhood time where someone said that to you or you said it to yourself years and years ago. And that is really what's coming. So something possibly in the grocery store triggered that in you and it was bringing it up for you to look at and let go.
Oh, because I heard it that was all the time growing up. All the time. Aunts, uncles, grandparents. It was always like when good things happen, it's like better enjoy it now because it's probably gonna all go away tomorrow. Right.
Okay, so, right. So if that was, yeah, if I knew if you knew how to tap, that's what you would tap on. You would tap on those former memories of different times where people said that. Wow. And that would release the charge that's stored inside of you. Mm-hmm. And next time. Maybe something would happen similarly, but it wouldn't have as much charge and you'd do the same thing. And over a few times, it just wouldn't happen anymore.
Wow. So that's how we dig it up is every time you get that trigger, that emotional response, you do the tapping, you just claim exactly what you're feeling and keep tapping until more and more comes up. And you just keep, it's like having a conversation with yourself while tapping on these key points.
Yes, exactly. Wow. The tricky thing is actually catching it in the moment or noticing that you are triggered. On a recent podcast, I think you mentioned about listing about other women or children in other parts of the country, of the world, I think, and getting emotional around it.
Yeah.
Same thing. We don't have to be so emotional, right? If we can let go of that attachments, those emotional attachments we have to things, excuse me, we can let that go. It's very subtly different from suppressing it, right? You could just listen to those news stories and not relate to it at all, right? Kind of suppress it. Or you can actually feel the feelings and let them pass through. Mm-hmm. And at that point, you're imperturbable is the words that I think is the goal of a lot of this work, to be imperturbable, to be in this world, but not of it.
Mm-hmm. This is so fascinating to me. Now I have all these stories playing through my mind of, you know, the signals that I send out and the emotions that I take in, like where someone hit a groundhog on the road last week. And when my husband and I were coming up to it, I was like, oh, poor groundhog. But then it popped up and it was still alive and it was bleeding. And I took that with me through the entire day. I couldn't get rid of it. I was so emotional. I wanted to cry all day. Like, talk about a horrible signal being sent out all day. And I couldn't let it go. But in that moment, I could have tapped on it, just felt the very real normal feelings of feeling sad that this poor groundhog, you know, was suffering, but not let it. So it's not about not feeling it. It's about not taking up permanent residence in it.
Right. So that you only have maybe that signal for a little while until you're actually letting it go, and you let the tears flow, right?
Yeah.
The tears that we store in childhood that we don't cry, right? We stop ourselves from crying. I think they're all still inside. They were for me, and I had to let them out through all this tapping, and then they were gone.
Wow. But we're taught not to feel like it's such, it's something that we have to unlearn, because we are taught not to feel, even just to make someone else feel comfortable. When we're crying, they'll say, there, don't cry. And we instantly feel, now we're like, oh my God, I can't cry because I don't want to upset this other person. And then where does that go, right? What you're saying is, well, now it's stored in your body because it never released.
Absolutely. Yeah. My dad used to say, yeah, stop crying or I'll give you just something to cry about.
Oh, it's my God.
Yeah. So then that becomes part of our signal, our whole signal all the time, right? So it really is affecting us. So we can let it go. And when we change our signal, we just change what we're attracting back into life. One of the things these days that I really realize is that during school, during those years of school where we're taught history and we're not allowed, or it's not comfortable to feel the emotions around feeling things like the Holocaust, World War I, World War II, we store that inside of us as part of our signal, and then we replay it. So we're replaying a lot of those things now that I remember storing from childhood. I remember learning about the climate changes that were going to happen and how afraid I was when I heard about them. And I never let that go. Mm-hmm. So we're all walking around with this signal inside of us, and we're attracting what we learned, what we stored.
Talk about emotionally charged. Like, no wonder we're all walking around with triggers. Like, you trigger me, I trigger you. We're all electrically charged. Like, that's a lot of stuff and a lot of energy going on and a lot of charges and a lot of signals going out, like to our community, to the people in our household, like to the world, like because we send that stuff out on social media as well, right? Like, how often do you see that someone's so emotionally charged and then they get on social media and they have to let everyone know how, you know, horrible their day was? That has an energy to it that, of course, that will attach itself to someone else as well, while also being stored in their own body.
It is. And one of the things I watch in myself now is, okay, what do I want to share? What do I want to reshare on Facebook?
Yeah, me too.
And I watch those things, okay, because those are things that I haven't fully cleared inside of myself and that I could work on. So I'm very conscious that I still pass things on. It doesn't stop me passing them on, but I'm very aware of what it is I am passing on. Absolutely. And that I know I have work to do.
Absolutely. And I love the EFT technique because it gives you something to focus on, you know, like you're not just sitting there in your emotions, you're tapping. So you're moving and there's movement happening and the emotions are moving. It feels like a safe space to me to process and really feel what I'm feeling in that moment.
It is. And it was definitely really helpful for me at the beginning. And even these days, you know, we're all on different levels of awareness for different subjects, right? So if something happens with one of my boys, I can't necessarily get to a deeper level of feeling those physical sensations.
Yeah.
I'm kind of more in my head and more in the emotions. So it's really useful to tap at that point So yeah, it's a really useful tool. And it took me a long way. It was a big part of my journey.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you had to learn how to feel those feelings. And then you had to really, you know, feel all that releasing from your body as well. And, you know, those feelings that we walk around with, those emotions we walk around with, somehow make us feel safe, right? Like there's like a little safety in them because we know it, right? If all you know is pain and sadness, and feeling joy is really uncomfortable because you're like,
right,
is this?
Absolutely.
What is this?
Yeah, we stay in our familiar feelings. Yeah, yeah. Fear was a big part of me. And sometimes that makes it difficult to walk this path, right? Sometimes it's very uncomfortable to look at our stuff and to let it go. I have a friend the other day who was driving through town and saw a fire engine at the high school where her son is. And she drove home and didn't really pay much attention to it. She was a little fearful when she saw it, and she texted me and said she'd seen it. And I asked her, did you tap on it? And she said no, but she did it right then and there, and tears came to her. She didn't know she had that fear inside of her, or certainly she didn't know that had those tears inside of her. And so she tapped and let that go, and she had a great day after that. And she said, you know, I'm not sure how my day would have gone if I had not released that, because she knew she would have been holding it in, even though she wasn't aware that she was holding it in.
This is incredible. How does this play in with the law of attraction? You know, I think people think law of attraction as stuff. So they're so focused on, okay, law of attraction. I want more money. I want a bigger house. I want a fancy car. I want a swimming pool. I think the resistance, if you will, we'll just use that word, is okay, here are my emotions. How in the world does that relate to the things that I want, the objects, the material aspects that I want? Do you have any concepts, of your own, you know, little pieces of wisdom you can share with us on that? Because I know right away people hear law of attraction, they're going to be like, oh, this is going to help me get more stuff.
Right. But law of attraction works on everything. It works on events. It works on circumstances. It works on the people around you. I had one lady in a group that I was holding one time, and it was a tapping group. Mm-hmm. And the next week she came and said, does this change other people? Because she had gone home that night and the husband she found was not the same husband that she had left before she went to that class.
Wow.
Because we're putting off a different signal once we've tapped. Every time we tap, I feel we're changing the direction of our future and we're attracting different things. So she went home and she attracted a different version of her husband, which sounds a little funny, but yes.
So if someone has I know right now a lot of people have a lot of money fears right now, just because of what's happening, you know, so many with in and out of closures and lockdowns and just so much happening in the world right now. And they're just so concerned about having a financial crisis and am I going to be able to pay my bills? So a lot of women I know have money goals. They're like, this is the money goal that I have. This is what I desire. So when you're looking at something like that tangible, here's what I want in a tangible way. Do you have to, when you bring in tapping, do you have to find all of the parts of you that are resisting it first?
If you want to change, yes.
That is so interesting.
We are perfect. On the inside, our true being is absolutely perfect. We have no resistance to anything. We're pure spirit. Mm-hmm. But we hold this negative programming inside of us. So all we need to do is find the negative. We don't need to put in the positive. Actually, I noticed that once I tapped out the negative, the positive thoughts just arose. They're just there. That's who we are on the inside. Mm-hmm. So, that's why EFT is so powerful, because it really works on the negative. And the negative is stored in our neural pathways, in our connective tissue, in our body. So all we need to do is tap that out. And then we can tune into spirit. To me, that's just the way it is. Wow. And actually, I can come back to what I was going to talk about earlier, the enlightenment.
Yes,
process, right? Yeah. So I'll continue a little bit with my story. So I started to feel these physical sensations, and I would let them go. And then I would lie on the sofa and I would bring up big collective traumas like the Loma Prieta earthquake, 9/11, those big things. And I would feel those emotions. I would let them exist inside my body and let them pass through, just what I had been doing on all these other levels. I just kept doing it. And at some point I realized I could actually hold my awareness inside my body, which was really weird. I didn't kind of know what was happening when this first started, but then I thought, well, it must be supposed to happen because I'm just on this journey. So I worked with it. I started to move my awareness inside my body, just move it around, and I would find tension and I would let it go. And I just did this over and over again. I realized that I was moving my awareness through the connective tissue, through the fascia, which is a piezoelectric system. And at some point I was able to actually put my awareness inside my head, inside my face. And I would hold my awareness there and let the tension dissipate. And it came to the point where I could actually hear its release. Felt like fabric ripping, which was the fascia connections releasing tension, old stored tension. And I realized this is the original word, the meaning of the word insight. Like I'm actually able to look inside sight. Mm-hmm. So when I became aware of this, I can sense light and darkness on the inside. So I could notice that when I was releasing tension, it was dark. Again, I didn't notice it until after I had let it go and I could look back and say, oh, it was dark and now it's light. So to me, that is part of the enlightenment process. You're actually letting go of the darkness on the inside and just allowing the light that's already there to shine through. And part of that is also the weightness, right? I used to feel really heavy. I was carrying the weight of the world on my shoulders. I think you kind of felt the same way. And a lot of us do. And as I went through releasing all these emotions, I actually felt lighter too, right? So there's two different aspects of that enlightenment process.
So you can feel it in your body, that that expansion and that contraction, like you feel that in your body. So when you can connect that to your body, you then also know that what signals you're sending out as well.
Like if right. I mean, I know I'm changing my signal on a really deep level now because I'm changing the physical structure. I think I showed you the x-rays of my skull. Did you look at that?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
That's fascinating to me.
Yeah. Changed the whole structure of my skull has changed because I've been releasing this really deep held tension in the connective tissue. I can actually feel sometimes my bones shifting and my whole jaw. I didn't realize at the time how unsymmetrical my face was, but my jaw has moved more into the center, my neck has straightened, my eye sockets have even aligned. I mean, I didn't even know that was possible, but let alone with just holding focused awareness on the tension.
And what I love about that is so often we think that the way to release the negative is to let's bypass the negative and we're only going to focus on what we want. We'll focus on joy. We'll focus on happiness. We'll focus on all these things, but our body knows that it's fake and our body knows that we're not being honest because it's still holding on to that other stuff. And your body's almost saying to you, well, that's bullshit because I know you're not in joy.
Right. So we're not putting off the signal that we think we're putting off. Yes. When we try and think anything, when we try and think something different, then we're not accepting what we're really thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So if we can pull ourselves back and really think what we're thinking, feel what we're feeling, even if it's hate, you know, we're taught not to hate.
Yeah.
And yet if we hate, we hate. So it's okay to actually feel that physical feeling of what hate feels like. Now that doesn't mean to express it to someone else or to actually go and act on it. It means to actually sit with that feeling and let it go. Cause I'd much rather be out of my body than stuck inside as part of my signal.
Absolutely. Oh my goodness. This is such a new way of looking at things because again, I think, you know, when we come into the law of attraction and manifestation, it's always about those things. But like you said, you would have those things if you didn't have the resistance. So what's the resistance? Where we're taught to just keep focusing on the things. And then we're like, yeah, I've been focusing on that thing for literally 5 years and I still don't have it, but I'll just keep going. I'll keep going. When, like, for you, which I find amazing, like you said, your first EFT session, you were 15 minutes and you felt better.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing what we store, and we're just not aware of it. Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting to move down this path of expanded awareness and just notice what we're really not aware of.
Yeah, absolutely. Where do you think this new age law of attraction came from? This just think positively and it will come. Just think about the cash you want and it'll be mysteriously in your mailbox. Like, where do you think that came from? Is it just this materialistic view? Like, because it just seems now just so ridiculous now. And I mean, I read The Secret and tried all the things just like everyone else, and it never worked.
Right. It never worked for me either.
The check never came. Yeah.
Because I don't think that resistance part of it was really in there. And I do think it's the materialistic aspect that we just we want stuff, we want things, we all want to be rich and wealthy, and that's not going to work for everyone.
Yeah,
I mean, that's not, to me, my goal was always inner peace. That's what I was after. And that's what I feel like I've mostly achieved. As I said, there's things, still some things that come up that catch me, that hook me, and I know to work on those. But my goal was inner peace, and it just happened that all these physical changes, which I know is a better signal, came about along the way.
Oh my God. All the time that so many of us have wasted on manifestation and the law of attraction, and all we really needed to do was just sit there and feel all of our feelings, like the ones that cause us emotional discomfort. But that's scary. So I suppose we have to get to this state where we feel safe to feel, because we're taught not to feel. So we have to find this safe space to feel our feelings, right?
Right. And to know that when you get beyond it, it's really okay. Sometimes it's really scary to go there because we think we're going to be annihilated, or we think something terrible is going to happen when we feel these really deep, scary feelings. But really, that's the freedom is on the other side.
Yeah. Well, we think that it's going to kill us. I think it really comes down to just this fight or flight freeze response that we just have in us, this fear that if I feel this, like I'm literally going to die. I'm never going to get out of that. And I think we're so afraid to take up full on permanent residence in it, that it just stays there. It doesn't take us down fully, but it just stays there and hangs out with us. And then we get triggered, and then it comes up, and then we go back to our distractions and go back to it. And then we get triggered, it comes up. Instead, we can just do an emotional freedom technique, which I will make sure to link everything in the show notes so people have access to this as well, because I find it so powerful. Now, I've done EFT before, and I found it very, very powerful, but it was never explained to me the way you're explaining it to me now. Now I have a totally different view from, like, just perspective on it, that now I get fully how to use it and why it's so important.
Yeah. Well, if you look online, there are thousands and thousands of videos about EFT, but just like we were saying, it's moved more into that positive thinking realm.
Yes.
So you'll find a lot of those videos are trying to tap in the positive, which is already there naturally, right? But EFT is working on the negative that's stored in the body. That's where the power of it is. And people are not realizing that, which is a real shame. Yeah. I wanted to go back to something you just talked about. So one of the big fears is fear of death, right? So I got that from what you were saying. So if we become aware of those fears, we can tap on those before we dig into something else, right? If I'm aware that I'm afraid of death, and I could tap on, I'm so afraid of death. I'm afraid of death. And that you can actually let that go a little bit before you tap on something else, then your willingness to tap on whatever it is that you're afraid of, it will be easier. It'll be easier for you to tap on it. But one of the things I have realized through this being able to see inside is that I know that we now, that I inhabit my body and that I am not my body, because I can see inside of me. So I'm looking from one place inside of me to another place inside of me. And if I can do that, it can't be me, right? I can't be in two places like that at once. So I know I am actually inhabiting my body. So I'm pretty sure that there is no death, right? We will just move on to another experience. Yeah. So this deep inner work can actually help let go of that fear of death, but so can tapping.
Absolutely. I think there's so much that we can let go of as soon as we see where that resistance is. So how do we tap when we're not sure yet? Like, if we don't know that we have these fears, or we're sending out these, you know, we'll call them negative signals. If we don't know that yet, and there's something over, you know, over there that we want, and but we're stuck there and we have this resistance and we're not getting it, what if we don't know what it is? How do we begin that tapping process? Because I'm assuming your body is going to bring it up and it will eventually come up. So how do you start the tapping when you're not sure what the emotion is yet, or even if you have a fear or any resistance?
Well, what I tell people is just imagining you're talking to me or a good friend and saying those words that you just said, right? I don't know. So I'm tapping on my head now. So yeah. I don't know what I'm afraid of. I know I don't have this thing that I want. So there has to be some resistance inside of me, but I don't know what it is. I don't know what I'm afraid of. I don't know what I'm feeling. And just tap through that. Yeah. Take some deep breaths and ask yourself, what is it I'm feeling? And it will probably come to mind, right? Because you let go of a little level of resistance, a little layer of resistance, and then the next thing will come up. So yes, you don't have to know to begin with.
And your body always communicates with you, whether you want it to or not, or you're listening or not. It's already sending you those little messages anyway. Sometimes we're just not aware of it because it shows up like tension in the neck or tight shoulders or clenching of the jaw. Sometimes for me, it's holding my breath. I know I'm like, oh, I've been holding my breath for a while. My breath is a big thing for me. I have a fear of choking to death, like a fear of not being able to breathe. And just one time I was home alone and I choked on something and I had to give myself like the Heimlich basically on my counter. And now I have this like fear. And when other fears come up, I can't breathe. So it's funny how something physical that happened now also manifests itself when I'm feeling something emotional as well. So this is a really great thing to tap on.
Right. So if I was with you tapping, I would have you tap on that event, right? The fear, what it is, what it was you choked on, right? What you were doing before, how you felt before that happened, like the whole event or every aspect of it, tap about it. And then every time since then that you have felt that fear of choking come up again, tap on that, let those feelings go, and then just pay attention. If it happens again, do the tapping again at that point. And notice how it shifts through time.
So it's all about changing the signal, but changing the signal by releasing that emotion.
Right. Because every time we react, right? Every time we react to something again, we're reacting something we have acted before.
Yeah.
Right. And if we react to it again, we're putting off the signal again. And we're going to get it back again. And we're going to react again. It's going to keep happening until we notice it and let go of that feeling complex, just let it out of our body. Then next time we're not going to react the same way because it's not stored inside of us the same way.
And we don't have to worry about the joy and the love and the compassion and the kindness and all those other things that we feel, because we're born with that. The other things are taught. We're born with those things. They're already so innately in us. They're so deeply in us. Once we remove the other things, the darkness, the light's just there like, oh, hey, I've been waiting to come out. Thank you so much.
Right. And if you've got someone that you haven't been able to forgive, and you do this work around that, around whatever it was for someone else, eventually you will find that the compassion and the understanding just arises on its own. And that, to me, that is true forgiveness.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because then when we see that person or we think about that person again, there's no reaction inside of us. There's no charge. And we have fully forgiven.
This to me is what they say in the spiritual world, cutting the cord. Yeah. And I've never been able to do that. I've had meditations and stuff like cord cutting. And I'm sure they work really well, but I think there's that step before, which is doing that emotional freedom technique, removing the emotions from your body before you can actually, you know, go into a visualization and see yourself cutting the cord. It sounds like there's, okay, step one, like let's start here instead of, because when you're going into it, like I love meditation, but if you're just, again, bypassing that emotion, it's still there because you're coming at it from a mindset thought point of view, from your thoughts, not from your body.
Right. And it's stored in the body. Yeah. Now I'm not a meditator myself. I really liked the idea that I didn't have to meditate.
Yes, of course. is sort of a type of meditation. It's just not the meditation we're used to where we sit in lotus pose, you know, on a pillow. There's so many forms of meditation. And this sounds like it can really go into that category of being in a meditative state.
Right. To me, what I'm doing at this point, the feeling inside the body, feeling tension, just letting it go, is more akin to Vipassana meditation, which I've never done, but I've heard about it.
Yeah.
But in general, the meditation where you're quieting your mind, there are benefits to it, because if you think from the signal point of view, the law of attraction, in that moment, you are putting off a peaceful, calm signal. So you're going to be getting more peaceful, calm events attracted to you in the future. But I wanted my base signal to change more. So to me, that's with changing this physical, the tension inside is actually changing the base signal. So I don't have to keep meditating, right? Because my signal has changed at a deeper level. But if someone looked at me now when I'm doing my inner work, they probably would think I'm meditating. But my thinking mind is not busy. My feeling mind is busy.
I love all of this so much. And I used to facilitate a stress management workshop. And when the pandemic hit, I did that in the corporate world. And when the pandemic hit, I couldn't facilitate in person anymore. And when I decided to put some of the workshops, turn them into digital workshops, I was doing it from a corporate level, from my mind, working through stress from the external. And I was like, but what if it's all an inner game? Like, would these to-do lists really matter that much to us if we worked on what was happening emotionally inside? And I totally reframed the workshop and I called it emotional management, like feeling the big feels, you know, change your definition of stress, like change the way you look at stress. Because if you change the way you look at those things that cause you those emotional triggers, I don't get stressed out about those things anymore. My to-do list doesn't make me go into a panic frizzy anymore. Right. So it's so interesting to me that this is the same thing, right? Like this EFT technique with regards to trauma or anything that gives you that emotional charge, anxiety, stress, stressors, triggers, it's all connected and it all starts from inside.
Absolutely. It's all connected. And you could even use it for a to-do list, right? If there's something on a to-do list that you're noticing you're procrastinating about, you could tap about that, right? And work it out. Work out why you're resisting it. What are you afraid of? What are you concerned is going to happen if you do it or you don't do it?
Yeah.
And let that resistance go so it can just flow to you.
I just took a deep breath because I feel like the past 18 months, I've just had so many questions about the law of attraction and so much frustration about the manifestation process and the way that it's taught and how it just bypasses so much. It's never resonated with me, nor has it ever worked for me in that way. And it's funny, like I've been asking these, you know, internal questions for probably 18 months now, and you've literally just answered all of those questions, which is, again, here's something, right? Like sending out that signal, and then here you are. It's not always instant, but I bet if I had released the resistance to it, it could have been more instant.
Or perhaps you didn't need me to be here because you would have worked it out yourself.
Oh my God. I love this. I just find all of this so fascinating and just so enlightening. Like it just, this whole conversation has made me feel lighter. I would love to know, where can women begin? Like, what can we begin right in this moment? Not tomorrow, not next week, you know, no future tripping, just in this moment today. Someone's listening to this right now, earbuds in, they're either driving, well, hopefully not driving, or taking a walk or cooking dinner. What can we do right now to just feel these feels and start to release them from our body?
I would say the first thing is just notice how you're feeling, right? Mm-hmm. Remember that every second of every day you're emitting a signal. So try and catch yourself during the day. Just ask yourself, how am I feeling right now? And at that point, can you relax a little bit more than you think you can in this moment? Right? Release that stomach. Let go of the tension in the jaw. Let go of your shoulders. Just relax, because just that is changing your signal in the moment, and it's going to change your future. So catching yourself during the day and asking yourself, how am I feeling right now? And remembering that's your signal. And do you want more of that? Or can you relax a little bit more so that you will attract something a little bit more peaceful?
Yeah. Like, you know, having that feeling like I was going to have an anxiety attack in the grocery store, just recognizing it right away, because I didn't want it to gain momentum. Because like, I'm like, I can't have this happen at the grocery store. I'm waiting in line. So I interrupted it and I just took deep breaths and I felt it in my body. And I kept telling myself that I was safe and that it was okay to be feeling what I was feeling. And so even though I didn't tap on it, I was able to really connect to my body, and I could have taken that deeper later, coming home, being like, wow, that was intense. And then tapping on it and pulling up anything else that came up.
Right. Yes. Yeah, so it sounds like you did great. Yeah. I remember one time I went to a class and the man really triggered me. I don't remember what it was, but I had never walked out of a class before. And I walked out of that class and I was so angry and emotional, and I tapped the whole way home. Now, I don't recommend tapping in the car until you're very familiar with it and it becomes almost subconscious. So I tapped all the way home, and by the time I got home, I was totally fine.
Wow.
So yes, it's a really good tool to have.
It's such,
and if you're going to look it up online, I would recommend looking up the original videos from the man who develops the technique, and his name is Gary Craig, C-R-A-I-G.
Okay. Is that the teacher that you've used to help you?
Yes. Now, he's the one I learned from.
Do you work with clients now and helping them through this process, or have you teach, I know you talk about these techniques in your book, which I cannot wait to get. I didn't know you wrote a book originally. And then when I saw it, I was like, oh my God, oh, I can't wait. Cause I love women who write books and share their tools and journeys and practices. It's like an insight into their heart. Like, I love it. So is this, you teach his techniques to other people?
I do some things. I do work with some people. And these days I'm more about sharing the message and the power that we have inside of ourselves. But my book goes through all the different steps that I went through and explains them in detail, including a large chapter on EFT.
That's incredible. I want to keep you. I just want to keep you here. I want to keep talking to you because I have so many things that I think directions we can go in, like, what about other people's emotions? You know, can we tap on that? Like when we're feeling other people's emotions, like they're sending a signal to us. So yes, we can't see you. I can see you, but she's nodding her head. Yeah, so we can do
yes, absolutely. Well. Because if we're noticing someone else's emotions, that is in us, right? So I'm tapping on my head again right now. I'm feeling, I can feel like that person's really upset, right? So there's tension in me because I'm noticing that they're upset. So I really only have control over myself.
Yes.
But I can tap on me and how I'm feeling in that moment. But I can also put myself in their shoes and tap on how I think, my perception of how I think they're feeling, right? And you can tap on that as well. And I also talk about something called air tapping, which is where I'm pretending someone else is standing in front of me or sitting on my lap, and yeah. I tap on their points in the air and I talk to them. Because wow. the words I use when I'm talking to someone are different when I'm imagining I'm talking to them in my mind. So that's a really powerful technique as well. And I have this one story from when I was in an airplane one time, and there was a baby in his mother's arms, and he was screaming how some babies do when they're overtired yeah. on a plane. And after we took off and he kept screaming, I asked the father, they went in a different aisle for me. I had to walk to it. And I asked the father if he would exchange seats with me for a little while. And he did. And then I asked the mother if I could tap on the baby. So I gently tapped on his points. Didn't need to say anything, right? When the emotions are right there, when you're in a crisis, you don't need to tap because the emotions are right there. The words you use are to bring the emotions back to you. Okay. So I just gently tapped on his points for a couple of rounds. And he fell asleep in his mother's arms. Wow. And the other people on the plane applauded quietly.
Yeah.
But it was so nice. It was everyone was very appreciative. So you can certainly tap on other people if you have their permission, or if I used to do it on my son when he had nightmares. I would just go and tap on him gently. Again, I didn't need to say anything because he was in it. The emotions were there. And he would get to the point, he would say, okay, I'm done now, you can go. And then he'd fall asleep. So, yeah.
That's so beautiful. And, you know, I think sometimes we don't know what we're feeling. We don't know how to put words to it at first. We don't know how to express it. We know we'll feel it in our body. So doing that body scan is really great. It's a really beautiful first step. Like, so at least when you begin that tapping, if you can't put a word to it, an emotion to it, you simply just acknowledge what you do know. Right now, I know I'm feeling tense in my stomach. Why am I feeling tense in my stomach? And sort of go through those meridian points, which I hope everyone looks up and gets your book and learns all about it. Because for me, when I have clarity as to this is exactly, and we'll use your word because I love that, exactly what resistance is keeping me from the things that I want, including mental and emotional freedom, I feel so powerful and confident. And there's just like so much magic there. I'm like, this is exactly it. It gives me that focus. It gives me that direction. And it makes me feel safe knowing, because I hate the unknowing. Like the unknowing is scary. And when we're just like, oh my God, I'm not angry, I was scared. You even just saying that, having that clarity, you're like, oh, well, yeah, well, that makes sense.
Yeah. And the emotions are often, you know, one on top of the other. Underneath anger is often fear. So, but you've got to accept the anger before you can actually move to the fear. So yeah. It's definitely a layer by layer process.
Yeah. It's like peeling the onion, right? This is just a really beautiful way to peel the onion. And I don't want anyone to have a misconception that you do this once and then, you know, you have everything that you want and you have a mental and emotional freedom for life. You've said over and over and over again, you use this tool in your life all the time. This is a tool you use consistently. It's a practice that you turn to. You had that one beautiful session and you felt that freedom in 15 minutes. And you were like, I'm going to use this now for the rest of my life. Because as we know, just being human beings, things happen. It's not if life happens, it's when, and we're going to have triggers and we're going to have painful moments in our life that bring stuff up, and we're going to have stressors. So this is a beautiful practice that we can take anywhere with us.
Right. But as I said, I do think that every time you tap, you are changing your future. You are changing the signal. So it is long-term change. And as you go through it, your awareness does expand. So it really is making deep changes at each step and each time you use it along the way. So it, from that respect, I do feel it's different from a lot of other tools, like meditation. I know someone who's been meditating for 20 years and her mind is still so busy. And mine really quieted within a year or two. So to me, it's very powerful.
Like the trauma that you went through with your mother could have triggered you your entire life and just shown up in all different ways. And by starting with that, like, most painful traumatic experience that you experienced in your life, that changed the trajectory of your life. It had no choice, right? Because it was the thing that was guiding your life, guiding your decisions and your reactions and your responses and the actions you took. So I can see that that definitely did make long-lasting changes, and then led you to do this work, and then led you to write the book, and then led you to help, you know, women and men around the globe, right? So it did. Of course it did. You changed your inner world. It absolutely changed the outer world, because now you're giving people a tool and practice that will help them feel the really, really big feels that we just feel as a human being.
Absolutely. Yes. Without I certainly would be not be talking on podcasts if I hadn't done that work, because I had so much resistance to that kind of thing.
Absolutely. So, yeah. Absolutely. Well, and again, I could keep you all day, but I'm going to respect your time and let you go. I hope you will come back on. I'd love to have so many more conversations with you, and maybe one day do a video and we can tap. Like, I just have so many things I just want to go down the rabbit hole with you on. Thank you so much for sharing this. And thank you for sharing your story. That's not an easy story to always share. But again, because you've dealt with the emotions, you can just share it with no charge.
Absolutely. Yes. Thank you so much for having me.
You are so welcome. And oh yes, this is, I'm so hyped up from the energy of this. Where can people find you? Where can people connect with you? What's the best place? I know YouTube, and I'll put the links for that, but anywhere else you like to spend time?
Well, I have my website, annhintz.com, and my book is called A Pathway to Insight. And there are links from, there will be links from my website and from the YouTube videos. The YouTube videos are where I'm posting really kind of deep information, I think, more specific information on where I am now, because I personally don't know anyone else who has got to this point where they can see inside. There may be other people, but yeah, I had never heard of it, so I wanted to share the details of that journey.
Well, I love that.
And I do have a public Facebook page. If you just look up Ann Hintz, that I post some things there too.
I will do that and make sure all your magical links are in the show notes so people can access it and learn more, because I know they're taking all of this in just like me. And I'm thinking already, okay, what am I going to tap on? What am I going to do next? How can I connect to my body? So my mind's already going how I can do it. I think I'm going to have to tap on that. Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate this conversation, and I'm sure everyone who's listening has as well. I so appreciate this time.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye.